You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm Mark King, as always, your host for this show. I hope everyone had a great Christmas or holiday, whatever holiday you celebrate. If you don't celebrate at all, hope you had an awesome Tuesday this week. I hope you guys got to spend it with your family and loved ones, because that is what is most important. I know I had a good time away with the family, and now our three kids had a wonderful Christmas, so it was fun. It was good to get away, but it's good to be back. Just got back home from the Forum for the Grizzlies Cavaliers game, which it feels like I haven't been to a home game in forever, because I haven't. I was on vacation the last time they had a home stand, but make up for it in January, because it seems like they have a billion home games in January, so we'll be down there quite a bit. I do want to start off, though, this first segment by talking a little bit about Jaren Jackson Jr. and what he did in this Lakers game on Sunday. We haven't been able to talk about that yet because I've been off this week. And then in the second segment, we'll discuss this Grizzlies-Cavaliers game. And then in the last segment, as always, on the Thursday show of our of this podcast, we have Joe Mullenix, site manager of the GrizzlyBearBlues.com, joining us to talk Grizzlies and get his thoughts on past week, the road trip, and some other things. It's a good conversation, so we'll have that in the last segment. But first, Jaren Jackson Jr. hit a bomb over LeBron James to seal the game on Sunday, and it was so exciting. Jaren Jackson Jr., for the first time, I don't know. I haven't looked it up. I'll have to go and look it up. But I think it's the first time that he's played over 30 minutes all year long. I don't know. If it's not the first time, and it's been a long time since he has, but Jaren Jackson plays 31 minutes in this game, 11 for 21, 27 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist. I mean, and just hits a dagger three, step back three over LeBron James. Just was very, very good. And what was so good about this game, and I tweeted this, was that hopefully JB realized this is like a turning point for JB and this coaching staff, that, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. can do this. I mean, he can be that player that you want him to be, but you got to give him the leash. You got to give him the rope to do it. You have to give him the time to do it. And this game was the first game that we've seen where the minute distribution was much, much better than it has been all season long. Jamaica Green, 31, Marc Gasol, 31, Mike Conley, 35, inexplicably Garrett Temple, 40 minutes, but that was because of his defense, and I'll live with that. Kyle Anderson, 24, which I'd like to see more like 35 for Garrett and 30, you know, like something like 30 and 30 for Garrett and Kyle apiece. That would be better, and I think we'll get there. Kyle Anderson wasn't very good in this game, and I get that. Garrett Temple was better on defense, so that's fine. We'll live with that. But I think you have to really try to consistently get 30 and 30 for those guys. Jamaica Green, 22, which is where I think he should be. 20 to 24 minutes for Jamaica Green. Wayne Selden, 18 minutes, which is a little high. I think she'd be more like 15. That's okay, because I think Dylan Brooks, he was at 12, almost 13. So I think as soon as he gets more incorporated back into the offense more and more, you'll probably see those places swap with Wayne at 12 and Dylan at 18, which is more on the lines of what you want to see. Shelvin at 16 and Ivory at 10. Shelvin at 16 is perfect. You don't need Shelvin to be at 25, 28 minutes a game. That's not where you need. He's too bad on defense to be that. He's too bad on defense to have that many minutes in the game. And what he gives you on offense is never going to make up for. I don't even on his good nights, I'm not sure if he even makes up for what you lose to him on defense. So, you know, Shelvin Mack at 16, fine with that. Even at 16, he still wasn't good. It was 0-for-4, 0 points. I mean, he was by far the worst player on the Grizzlies team. I would personally would much rather, if you're going to play Shelvin, that's where he needs to be on minute-wise, maybe even a little lower, more like 14. But I would personally rather see Javon Carter in that role, see what you can get. But if you're going to play him, and it seems like JB is going to play him, at least put him in the minutes restriction of what you're going to do at like 16, which is 14 and 16. That's fine. I think you can live with Shelvin Mack in those situations, and you just got to live with Mike and Jaren taking all the shots, basically. I mean, Mike Conley had 13, Marc Gasol had 16, Jaren Jackson had 21 shots. He was 11 for 21. I mean, you live with that. And when those guys are going to play good and those guys are going to make shots, just like any other team that has two or three really good players and then role players for the rest of the team, just like any other team that has that, if they're going to play good, you're going to win games. Mike Conley, 17. Marc Gasol, 17. Jaren Jackson, 27. Garrett Temple, 14. Garrett Temple was really good, 14.7 rebounds, assists to steal. Jamaica Green was also good, just consistent, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Marc Gasol was really good, 17, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, just fantastic. And we're seeing Marc Gasol get back to what Marc Gasol was before he injured his ankle. And so that's also increasing what you need. If Marc Gasol is going to be passive and he's not going to shoot, let Jaren take the shots. Let Jaren be the aggressor. And that's fine. If Mark wants to play from the elbow, I'm okay with it. I'm happy with it. Happy to do that. But it's still good to see them, those three guys, taking the majority of the shots. And what ends up is you have Grizzlies end up winning the game. I mean, it's not much harder to predict than that. I mean, LeBron James wasn't out of this world. Kyle Kuzma was decent. You know, they had all their players were decent. None of them were out of this world. But the Grizzlies defense was good. Their offense was better. I mean, they had above average offense for the first time, and I don't know how long. They scored 107 points for the first time. They scored over 100 points for the first time in weeks. So, you know, that's what the Grizzlies are going to have. I mean, even with their defense is at their best, as we've seen, you're not going to win games when you don't score the basketball. It really is that simple. Even when your defense, I guess, is as good as we've seen it, and it has been elite at times. Even those times, it's not going to be good enough. But it was good to see JB and the coaching staff put Jaren Jackson in a situation to play well. If you're going to want him to be your third scorer, which you should because you don't have anybody else. He is your third scorer. He's your third best player. If you want him to be that, you have to put him in those type of situations. You have to put in those situations to be the third best player. And that starts with giving him the minutes and also giving him the shots. I mean, they had a clear game plan and against the Lakers to try to get him involved in the game, which was exciting to see. And it was good to see them hopefully come to that realization that this is who he is and who he can be. And so hopefully going down the stretch of the next few weeks, we'll continue to see him grow, get more shots, be better. There are going to be nights where he doesn't play well. Like tonight, he didn't play well against the Cavs. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there are going to be nights where he doesn't play well. But you have to give him the opportunity. You have to give him the opportunity to play well and play through those mistakes, play through those hard times. Everybody goes through slumps. It's what it is. And he will too. But you have to give him the opportunity to get through those slumps and come out on the other side. But coming up after the break, we'll talk about this Grizzlies-Cavaliers games. Again, and then stay tuned for the third segment. We'll talk with Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, as always in our last segment of the Thursday show. We'll talk with him in the last segment, so stay tuned for that. Welcome back to the show. Again, we'll in that third segment, make sure you stay tuned. We'll talk with Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. But first, let's talk about this game against the Cavaliers. Just an abomination of a basketball game. Just absolutely awful. I mean, it was so boring. There was just nothing. There was no play that really got everybody up and out of their seats. It was Adopt a Puppy Night, and so I kept getting distracted by puppies. If you were following me on Twitter, as you should be, at King_producer, I was running the Grizzly Bear Blues Twitter account tonight. You can follow them at SB and Grizzlies, but I kept getting distracted by puppies because they're just so darn cute, and I tried to bring one home. My wife told me no. Actually, she told me I could, but I'd have to have another kid, and we got too many for that as it is. But the Grizzlies, it's just a boring game. Honestly, just to be perfectly honest, Cavaliers are just so bad at basketball. They are so bad at basketball. And the quick recap for this game was Grizzlies bad, Cavaliers worse, the end. That's as quick as I can make it. Because the Grizzlies had no business winning this basketball game, but they do. They win the game 95-87. They move to 18-16 on the season, two games above 500, which is good. They needed this win. Again, they had no business winning this game. They got out-rebounded on the offensive boards 19-3. 19-3. Just awful. And the only reason they even win this game is because the Cavaliers turned the ball over 17 times for 24 points, for 24 Grizzlies points. You know, the Grizzlies end up with all their starters in double figures, but it took a lot to get there. It felt like it took forever to get there. Jaren Jackson Jr., as I mentioned, wasn't great. 5 for 10, couple rebounds, 11 points, but only two personal fouls. I don't know when's the last time he had like three or less, but I don't know. I don't really keep track of that, but it's good to see him again. He had 28 minutes. He didn't play great, but it was good to see him to be able to, they left him out there to play through some of that stuff. But nobody on the Grizzlies team really played great. They mostly had all their players back, except for Chandler Parsons, who is designated as return from injury management, whatever that means. And just so everyone's clear on that, return from injury management is basically like, from what I understand anyway, from asking, is that it is, he's getting back into the rotate or getting back into fitness level. He's cleared to play medically, but he's just working his way back to be able to get into game shape. So whatever that means for him coming back and actually playing a basketball game is a different story, but that is what I was told or explained as a return from injury management. So just a quick side note on that. But Grizzlies had mostly all their complement of players, and Marshawn Brooks got no minutes because he was a DNP coach. DNP. Joakim Noah gets 10 minutes, which I don't agree with at all. I don't know what Joakim Noah is giving you out there that Ivan Rabb can't give you. Joakim Noah was 4 rebounds for 5 points, minus 3 out there. Did have 2 assists, but I mean, you don't think that Ivan Rabb can give you 4 rebounds in 10 minutes? I mean, because I've seen him given 6 rebounds in 6 minutes before. So I just don't understand what you're doing with Joakim Noah. I mean, I get veteran leadership, but at what point are you sacrificing your points for veteran leadership? I just don't get it. Shovel back 18 minutes. That's a little on the high side for me. Again, we need him back around 14, 16 and get those minutes of Jaren Jackson Jr. up in the low 30s. Dylan Brooks, 15 minutes. JaMychal Green, 21 minutes, exactly where he should be. Dylan Brooks would probably be higher. Wayne Selden, 12 or almost 13 minutes. The bench wasn't great. The 6 points from Shelvin Mack, 6 points from JaMychal Green. Nobody was great. Nobody was great, period. Marc Gasol was probably the best player for the Grizzlies. He was 6 for 13 for 20 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and 4 blocks. So, I mean, he was by far the best player on the court. It felt like it took a lot for him to get that, though. He had a quiet good night. Throughout the game, there was nothing, like I said, that just got everybody up and out of their seats and really started, you know, getting people into the game. And that was the other part. It was just so quiet and dead the whole night. It was nothing really there. Mike Conley was not good. 6 for 16, 15 points. Did have 8 assists, but again, 2 turnovers, 2 rebounds. Just not what you really come from to expect from Mike Conley. Kyle Anderson was very good. 5 for 6, had a missed dunk, which was the missed shot. 1 for 1 from 3. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. So 2 block shot as well. Kyle Anderson was also good quietly. Just like I said, nothing outstanding, though. I mean, these are very quiet games that are just that, yes, they led to the win. And they only, at one point, you look up in the fourth quarter and they're only up by 4. And a team that you'd been up by double digit points largely the whole game, a team that only scored 9 points in the first quarter, a team that took them until the 4-minute mark of the first quarter to get their first field goal. I mean, how bad at basketball do you have to be to go that long without scoring just a bucket? It was like 12 or 20 to 1 or something crazy. I mean, it was like they had 1 point for like most of the first quarter, which is just insane. But you let this team get back into it, just like always. I don't understand how Grizzlies can never, ever beat bad teams. And this is something they're going to have to really do in January, because as bad as the December schedule was in December, it's equally as good in January as far as winnable games. And there's a lot of bad teams in January, a lot of home games with bad teams that you have to beat. And that's what good teams do. And that's the difference between good team or just that's the difference between above average teams and just average teams. Above average teams and great teams, they beat the people who they're supposed to beat, and then they go out there and win games and steal some from other teams. And the Grizzlies have never ever been able to beat the teams they're supposed to beat, at least handily. And you know, this is a game where they should have blown the Cavaliers out. They should have blown the Cavaliers out, and they should have been able to rest starters for this game coming up against the Celtics on Saturday. So it's a thing that just it must be in the water. I don't know. I've never known. I can't really figure it out. But they always play up or down to the competition for better or worse. The Grizzlies are just 5 for 22 for 22% tonight, just from three, just not really good at all. Again, the only reason they win this game because the Cavaliers turned it over 17 times. A lot of those turnovers are just free possessions because it was like them passing it to, they had a three or four that I saw that just, they're literally just passing it to a wide open player that just couldn't catch it. CeeDee Osmond dribbling off his foot a couple times. I mean, just, you know, just not great. Not great at all. You know, just bad basketball. And that's what this game was. It was a bad basketball. It's hard to watch. But again, the Grizzlies get the win, and that's really all that really matters. At the end of the day, they were able to win the game and move from 17-16 to 18-16, and hopefully they continue to do so. Like I said, they have a better schedule in January. They have a game next game coming up against Celtics on Saturday. I think that's a winnable game. I think that's a game that you can win, and we'll talk about that on Friday's show, tomorrow's show. But I think that's a game that you can win. Saturday night down at the FedEx Forum. They got that, and then the Rockets coming up after that, away at the Rockets and the Pistons home next week. I think you can easily go as we've seen the Grizzlies. They can easily go 0-3, but I think they should probably go 2-1 the next three games. But we'll see on Saturday. That's going to be a tough one. It wouldn't shock me if they lose that game either. But I think it's one of those games you can probably steal, and that's what the Grizzlies have to do. If they want to be a good playoff team, they have to go out and steal those games, make it a game, make it a tight game, and steal at the end to get those games and to win those games. That's what they have to do to be a good playoff team. So you have to go out and do those things, be able to do those things against other playoff caliber teams. So coming up next in the last segment, we'll talk with Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. Appreciate him joining me every week, so please enjoy the conversation. Until then, we will do it again on Friday. We'll talk about the Celtics game on Friday, as well as some other stuff. Welcome back to the show. As always, our third segment in this Thursday, Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, joining me again this week, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to be on every week. You're doing a great job with these podcasts, I say every week, and it's always really cool to see GB Beers branch out and get other opportunities through the blog, and you're a shining example of that, Mark, as you know. So happy to be on.
Well, I appreciate that. Let's get right into some basketball. We're recording this late night after the game on Wednesday night versus the Cavaliers. But I do want to talk about this road trip first. I want to get your thoughts on the 1-4 road trip for the Grizzlies. Possibly could have been 2-4, and I think would have been much, you know, winning one of those games, especially against the Kings, would have been much easier to take. But they're 1-4 with one against the Lakers, a game that I didn't think they were going to win. I think I had them flip-flopped in the ones they should have won. But either way, they salvaged a road trip. Thoughts on the road trip?
So I'm happy with the road trip, as weird as that's going to sound to your listeners. I think that you have to, again, always keep perspective when it comes to these Memphis Grizzlies. It could be a lot worse. And the way that they played at times, you know, including the game tonight at home, you know, coming off of the Christmas holiday, it's not like tonight was a lock. You know, they had to do a lot of things to kind of make things go right for them. So the four-game road trip, not the best. Obviously, the tough game against Golden State, that was always going to be a hard one. And then you had a letdown in Portland, a letdown against the Kings. You know, it could have easily been a 2-2, 3-1 road trip. So I get if people are disappointed, but, you know, that's a tough swing to go on. And those are four good basketball teams, guys that are competing for the playoffs, every single one of them. You know, most of the Western Conference point is competing for the playoffs. So they're tough games. And whenever you go out there and and you're on the road for that long of a period of time, it can impact you. I was impressed with how they played against the Lakers. You know, I think the Lakers are a pretty good basketball team. I was always surprised seeing the disrespect that some people gave LeBron James. As soon as LeBron James chose the Lakers as his destination, I knew they were going to be a playoff team and probably a team in the top four or five of the Western Conference. So it's not really surprising what they're doing to me. And whether it's, you know, through a superstar trade or it's through just, you know, the multiple young players on their roster getting better, LA's only going to get better. You know, they're kind of at their bottom right now in terms of their potential as a team. So I thought that was a good win. I thought that they were clearly motivated in that game. And that's one of the things that people that have followed the Grizzlies for several years now, that's one of the most frustrating things about this team and NBA basketball in general. But obviously we're talking about the Grizzlies here. You know, you see how energetic they were, how up they were, intense for that Lakers game. They played with hunger. They played with a sense of urgency. And then you watch them play the Cavaliers, and there was no urgency. There was, you know, there were good performances. I think Marcus Gasol deserves credit. He had a pretty impressive stat line. Same thing with Kyle Anderson. Aside from his missed dunk, he had a pretty good night. But there was just no energy, or a very small bit of energy, especially compared to the game in L.A., which was, again, coming at the end of a four-game road trip. So I'm disappointed. Because I think that they between Sacramento and Portland, they definitely should have won at least one or two game of those two, the way that it played out. But at the same time, if you keep the perspective of looking at this team, and we've talked about this on your show, as I view them as a 500 basketball team, then it's not really surprising that they would have gone 1-3 on the road, because, you know, they have a home stand coming up that maybe they go 3-1 on, and it all comes out in the wash to being a 500 basketball club. So it was disappointing, but not necessarily surprising, I guess, is the way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, that road trip was always going to be difficult to go, you know, either 3-1 or 2-2. Because like you said, they're all good teams. I think what it makes it disappointing in hindsight is just the fact that you could have had more. You could have had other games that you probably should have won. But the Grizzlies are now 17-16, or 18-16 now as we record this. Is this where you thought they would be at this point in the season?
Roughly. I mean, again, I had them at 39 wins going into the season. So that, again, puts them around 500. They're a little bit better than I thought they would be. Obviously, there's varying degrees of better for everybody who follows this team. You know, maybe the most ardent fans were convinced that they would be a 45, 46 win team and make the playoffs. Not many folks that are media or bloggers or podcasters like us thought that. I think that you look at what they're doing and they're overplaying their hand, so to speak. They're out punching their weight class. They're out kicking their coverage. Whatever phrase you want to use or cliche, that's kind of what these Grizzlies are. You know, it always goes with it. As good as Mark and Mike are going to be, is as good as the Grizzlies are. Obviously, Jaren Jackson is a nice wrinkle in that, and he had a tremendous game against the Lakers. Not so good of a game tonight against Cleveland, and that's going to come with a 19-year-old playing meaningful minutes, essentially being asked to be the third best player on this team. You've got guys like Garrett Temple and Shelvin Mack and other players that are playing outside of their roles or their ideal roles because Chandler Parsons isn't physically able to be there the way that he's being paid to be. So, again, it's a testament to the mental toughness of the guys that they've built around. It's a testament to Bickerstaff, J.B. Bickerstaff and his coaching staff. Obviously, they are flawed. We talked about that last week. They are imperfect, as we all are, but I do think they have to get some credit for being a little bit ahead of where most people had them. The front office, as we've discussed, a great summer, taking what they had and making the most of it and building a smart, tough basketball team that kind of understands their limitations and is committed to playing system dominant defense and converting offense where they can. They're still a third scorer away from being a team that can actually compete in the Western Conference, at least in my opinion. That doesn't mean that they can't make the playoffs, but you know, they're going to be hovering around where they are, you know, the bottom half of the Western Conference playoff picture for the rest of the season. And I think if that was your expectation, or if that's better than what your expectation was, as it is in my case, then you should be happy. You know, I was asked earlier this week what grade I would give the season so far. I'd give it a B. Yeah, they're only two games above 500, but compare it to where they were last year. Look at the talent that's on this team. You trot this group out against Portland, for example. There's multiple first-round picks. There's multiple talented guys that are all NBA, all-star, scoring, champion, potential. Memphis doesn't have that, and yet here they are in the hunt in the most loaded Western Conference, at least to this point, that we've ever seen. So I'm ecstatic, to be honest with you. I think they're doing a pretty darn good job in Memphis, considering what they have and considering what they've been through building this roster to this point.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think I'd probably land on that side, although I think that, and rightly so, JB has gone through some weird stuff, weird changes. But something happened in that Lakers game that has not happened yet. And I tweeted this out on Sunday or whatever night that was, that hopefully that this was a turning point for JB, and he realizes that what he has in Jaren Jackson and what he has with other players, that Jaren Jackson played over 30 minutes for the first time, I think, maybe all year. It's been a long time since he has. Shelvin Mack, 16 minutes. Wayne Selden, more like 18. Jamal Green, more 22. More, the minutes structured were more in line with what I think we all thought they should be, and treating Jaren Jackson like a third player or a third scorer. Do you think this was a turning point for his staff, for the team, to realize that if you're going to play Jaren, and if you want Jaren to be a third scorer, you have to play him like you want him to be a third scorer?
I think more than that, it was a realization that Jaren is capable of more. Obviously we, in what we do as writers and bloggers and podcasters, whatever the hell we are, we like to deal in narratives. You know, we try to find narratives and apply them to the season and storylines and the development of the relationship between JB Bickerstaff and Jaren is a natural narrative that we can apply. To me, in my limited experience, especially compared to his professional realm, dealing with professional athletes, in my experience as a coach, it looks like he's willing now to test out the young kid. When you have a young player, you naturally are going to be hesitant to give them a ton of responsibility because you haven't seen them do it yet. It's comparable to when you're teaching a young person to drive. You're not going to just give them the key and say good luck and, you know, not ride along with them or not limit where they're able to drive or the situations that they're putting themselves in. You kind of earn a trust to get the keys to the car. And I think that's where they're at in their relationship, right, wrong, or indifferent. I think JB Bickerstaff, especially with that Lakers game, you could tell that part of their game plan was built around Jaren Jackson Jr. and feeding him the basketball, especially in the post, trying to take advantage of a weaker L.A. front court because of multiple guys being out. So it's possible that it's turning a corner. I think it's more, again, in terms of the narrative that is the 82-game season, JB Bickerstaff gave an opportunity, and I think Jaren Jackson made the most of it. And it's important to understand that that's not going to be every night because he is still a rookie. He is still one of the youngest players in the NBA. He's a tremendous physical talent. And I think, you know, this side of Luka Doncic, and maybe you argue for DeAndre Ayton, he's in the hunt for rookie of the year. He's one of those top two or three guys. But at the same time, it's got to be patience. You know, patience has to be the virtue here, because if you put him in that spot saying he's the third best player on the team, again, he's 19 years old. He shouldn't have to be that, especially on a team that's trying to be good. Very rarely do you see a team be in that situation and make a playoff run and have postseason success with such a young talent being so prominent on your roster.
Absolutely. I think I absolutely agree with that. I think he is the third best player in the roster. I do fall in the category where you should probably treat him more like that than not, because like you said, it is a realization of the capability of Jaren Jackson and what he can do. But until we speak again next week, the Grizzlies have the Celtics at home, Rockets on the road, and the Pistons at home as well. Thoughts on the next week or so, what you think they might do in these three games?
I think they'll be 2-1. I think they're going to beat Boston on Saturday night for no other reason than I think Memphis will be rocking. I think that the lack of energy that you saw on a Wednesday night against Cleveland, it'll be a little bit different in the Forum on a Saturday night against the Celtics. I think the Grizzlies are going to get up for that one. I think the city will be up for that one. At least I hope they will. I know I would be if I were there. And I think that'll be a win. It'll be a tight one. You know, Boston's kind of finding themselves, and Kyrie Irving is a pretty talented player, of course, and they have other guys that are pretty gifted as well. But I think the Grizzlies will find a way to win that one. I think they'll go on the road to Houston and get, you know, beaten pretty soundly. The Rockets seem to be figuring it out slowly but surely as well, kind of like Boston. And then I think they'll come home and they'll beat Detroit. So I think the next time we talk, they'll be 2-1 on these next three. They'll win the two home games, and now they'll drop the one to the Rockets. And again, that's, they're gaining a game. You know what I mean? They'll be a game better than they are right now. And that kind of should be the goal every week, is to try to just build upon what you've already done and try to stay away from the red side, the negative side of that 500 line, because the closer you get to that, the less likely it is you are in that postseason picture. And that's becoming more and more real, you know, the fact that they're in the hunt, they're in the conversation, they're not being blown away by the San Antonio Spurs and the Utah Jazz, even teams like the Pelicans, who people were high on coming into this season. You know, the Grizzlies are right there in lockstep with just about the entire conference, and they're going to have to find ways, especially now that their long road trip is over and they have some home games coming up. They got to start piling up wins, and they got to start not just beating people that they're supposed to beat, but knocking off teams like Boston and others, especially on their home court. That has to be a priority if they hope to be taken seriously as a playoff contender in the Western Conference.
Well, as bad as the December schedule was, the January schedule is opposite. It's got a lot of home games, a lot of winnable games there. So hopefully they can make up some time in January that they lost in December, because December was always going to be difficult for them. There was a lot of very difficult games, a lot of games away from home. So again, Joe Mullenix, site manager, Grizzly Bear Blues, I appreciate you joining me. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Mark. Thank you, bud.
Thanks again to Joe Mullenix for joining me for that conversation. Again, I hope you all enjoyed it. Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. We do it every Thursday in the third segment of this show. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizzlies. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Make sure you get any questions in for next week's Monday mailbag. You can DM those to me, myself, or the show. I run both accounts. Or you can just email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Make sure you find the show online, anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, or on lockedongrizzlies.com.